Welcome to God's Tabernacle Christian Family Church Where God Dwells podcast. Best believe that you'll be receiving the Word of God from our senior pastors, Drs. David and Louisa Muluzi. The Word of God says, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word of God. Keep it locked and stay blessed.
In Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Shake a hand of somebody next to you. Tell them, I am the highly favored of the Lord. Praise God. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Now, we are continuing with our series on the faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham. Turn to somebody and say, we are talking about the faith of Abraham. Now, what part is this? Part 3. Now, we have seen already that the Bible tells us that Abraham is our father of faith. That we are blessed through Abraham. Now, this one of Genesis 12 tells us, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And then verse 2 says, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Can you say this? In Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I am part of the family of the earth. And in Christ, and in Abraham, I am blessed. Say this, I'm not cursed, but I am blessed. I carry the blessing of Abraham that are in Christ Jesus. That is in Christ Jesus. The blessing of Christ in Christ Jesus, it's in my life. Verse 4, and I will make of you a great nation. Eh? So Abraham went. Eh? What did we read? We read verse 3. Now this is verse 4. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, here is what I want us to see today, even as we talk about the faith of Abraham, is that God spoke to Abraham. At that time, he was Abram. He spoke to him after his father had died. Eh? Now, we are not told whether Abram had time to mourn for his father's death. You know, to mourn, you know, and cry, my father has died. We are not told whether his mother had died already. And then from there, Abraham at 75 years old, I'm an orphan. Get you one, emsha, fresh. We don't know. We are not told, you know, that I am a new orphan. No, we are not told at 75 years old, by the way. Yeah, we are not told. Yeah, but one thing that we are told is that God came to Abraham at 75 years old. And God spoke to Abraham and said, get out of your family and go to a place that I will show you. Now, in that place that I will show you, I will make of you a great nation. Now, here is what I want us to look at today. Is that Abraham did not have reference. I will expand on that. Now, when you apply for a job, you know, they say, Khomotso. Kholofelo. I know it's K. Kholofelo. Says Kholofelo. When you apply for a job, and then they would say you must also attach what? Qualifications, references. Now, what are they saying when they say, we want your reference? What do they want to find out? Previous experience. In other words, if we want to hire you now, have you proven it before? They want to verify with, yes, or is it true? That's reference, right? In other words, it's more like a supporting document. That, yes, I get they don't know you, you know, they don't know you from a bar of soap. You understand that? In other words, if they take a bar of soap and then they look at you, as much as they don't know you, a bar of soap, they don't know you. Meaning that they don't know you at all. You understand what I'm, you understand the phrase? So meaning that they don't know you at all. And so they want to see if somebody knows you, number one. Number two, they want to know if what you claim that you can do, you have done it somewhere else. And then how successful were you? That's a reference. Are you with me so far? Now, when God appeared to Abram, and he said that, Abram, I want you to get out of your place. Go to a place that I will show you. We read in the past, was it part two, that Abram's family were idol worshippers. They were not worshipping Jehovah. They were idol worshippers. We saw that in Joshua, is it 24? Yeah. That they were idol worshippers. And so, when God now comes in and say, get out of the place, that Abram had never ever responded. All right, we don't have a history of Abram having an encounter with God, Abram following God, Abram worshiping God. He grew up in a family where people are worshiping idols. And so God comes to him and say, I want you to get out of your family. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, what you're used to, stop it. Get out of it. Yeah. And then go to a land that I will show you. So, he then left. Now, it must have taken him serious faith to believe and to take such a drastic step to follow God. When I say he did not have a reference, he has never seen it anywhere. Somebody coming to God, and I mean to a God coming to somebody, and God telling that person, get out of the place, and then the person following God, and then seeing a God taking care of a person, fulfilling and keeping, you know, the promise that he promised that person. He has never seen that. So for him to take up, to get out of a place and to follow God, it was a step of a serious faith. Eh? It must have been that it's a serious faith. Now, here is the thing. The thing is, when you get saved in your family, let me ask this. How many of you were in your family, in your relative, you were the first one to be born again? Couple hands. Impressive. Thank you. Now, how many of you, when you got born again, there was already somebody who is born again? You are not the first one, but already in your family, there were people that were born again. Right? Yeah. Thank you. Now, what does that mean? It means you had a reference. You have already, whether that reference was good or bad, it's a different story. You know, but the issue is, I hope the reference was good. You know, I hope they live for God, that he challenged you to be born again. You know, maybe that's that really touched you to be born again. I hope so. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that at least you can point out that, yeah, I'm following Christ. I think it will work because I have seen in so and so the issue of following Christ working. But those, the first group that raised your hands, you did not have a reference in your family, but you had the way, and then you said, I want to be born again. Now, most of the time, not all of the time, but most of the time, you know what I find out is that those that were first to get born again without reference, they tend to believe God more than those who got born again because they were influenced by somebody. I don't know. That's just, you know, my little, observation. Yeah. Is it true? Brother Sergio says it's true. Yeah. And then, you realize that those who got born again in the first place, especially those who were persecuted at home, who were told, what is this thing that you're bringing in our home? You know, what is this salvation story? Yeah. And they persecuted you. They were really against you. At times they locked you out of the house. I know of people who slept outside because they could not open. I know kids who were locked outside because of they are born again. I know of wives who were locked outside because they are now born again. Yeah. Now, when you have experienced that, You know what? For you to still hold on to God, you have said that this thing is real. You know, you can do whatever. I'm not going anywhere. But what I've observed is that those, when there is somebody in the family who got born again, and then because of them, they also get born again, is that the moment they experience a small change, a challenge, yeah, a small challenge, they tend to be sissy. You know what is to be sissy? Yeah. They come, Murimo, you know, not get a cow, go get a hands, a cow server. Yeah. But leave a law untirelang. You know, God, why me? You know, they complain about uncomplainable thing. Amen. And then you find that, you know, much of, you know, Christians that are touchy. Eh? Yeah, touchy, that are too sensitive, you know. Christians that are wanting everything, it must be about them. You know, they want the best. You know, most of the, it's not all of the time, eh? But most of the time, it's because they were not like trailblazers, whereby they went out there. I am the first one to be born again. I was persecuted, and when I was persecuted, I stood, and I know that this works. You know, those ones, they've got a thick skin. You can throw whatever, they will still stand and say, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Yeah. And, you know, but now, here is the thing. Even if, you know, and then there are people who are not first generation Christian. Yeah. Maybe they got saved because other people got saved in their family. But, you know, they saw what God did in other people's, you know, in their family members' lives. And then they took a decision. They take a decision and say that, I am going to serve God. If it can work for this fellow family member, it will work for me. They personalize it. You know. So, it's not, you know, I'm not saying, Jorge, the second or third generation, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, you can be a second generation Christian and you stand up and you live for God because you have seen what God did in somebody else. Are you with me? Amen. Yeah. And so, but what I'm saying, another thing that I'm saying is this, is that the second generation, you've got a lot to work at because the tendency is to be sissy. So you've got a lot to work on to believe God for yourself, not because he's the God in the family. You understand? Yeah. You look at the pastor's children. They grew up in the family where there is prayer, you know, where things they've seen, you know, God working and you know, and so forth. And now, the pastor's children, they've got a serious challenge of resisting a temptation that is the salvation of our father or of our mother. Or it's a faith of my father, of my mother, that they have to now go to work out. They have more to work on the fact that it is also my salvation. That my salvation is not depending upon my father, but it's upon me. Are you with me? Yeah. And that is the same thing with those, you know, maybe you grew up in a Christian family and so forth, that you have to really work on the fact that it's not salvation, it's my salvation. It's not issue of, you know, a family salvation. But it's my salvation. Yeah. And then if you don't work on that, salvation will be just like any other religion. Are you with me? Yeah. Just any other religion. So it's very much important, whether your parents were pastors or not, but if they were born again, they were saved, it's a benefit to you that they've taught you faith. Paul says to Timothy, says, you know, talks about your mother and your grandmother. You know, faith that was in your mother, Eunice, and in your grandmother, Louise. So you can see how it was generation. You know, he's on the third generation. You know, but the issue is that that faith, Paul had to say to him, you know, that work on it. Don't say, oh, I'm in the third generation and things are working fine, you know. Tumele apaba itlam pereke. No. You yourself, are you with me? You yourself must rise up. Yeah. Eh? Yeah, mudimu da hana di toholo. God does not have grandchildren. He only have children. Yeah. So it's not a fact that, no, my parents are born again, therefore I am automatically born again. No. Are you with me? Yeah. God expects you to have that personal encounter with God and serve him. You know, serve him. Serve him. Not based on the fact that your parents were Christians before, but because you love God. You must love God for yourself. So, now coming back to our story here, what we see is Abraham did not have a reference. Yeah. A reference of, you know, who have served God before. At least we don't read about it in the Bible. It's not recorded in the Bible. You know, so based on that, we can assume that he didn't have any reference. You know, but when God spoke, Abraham believed God. You see, I'm serving God. Pastor Louisa is serving God. Yeah. We had to always instill in our daughters the issue of you have to serve God yourself, not because we are serving God. Then, simply because you are saving God does not automatically make you a Christian. You yourself must have that passion of saving God, of loving God. Yeah, that even if my parents are no more, I will still serve God. I will still love God. I will still go to church. I will still be committed to God. You know, that my commitment to God is not based on the fact that Kingwana Muruti or Kingwana, my parents that are Christians. No. Must be that you must love God yourself. And so I'm saying to, you know, we have a lot of second generation here. You know, after 25 years, we have had people who got saved and live for God, and their children, they grew up in families that are serving God. Now, it is those children that I'm speaking to you today. Don't take it, hurry, because your parents were serving God, then automatically you know, God will allow you. You can live anyhow. God will allow you in heaven based on your parents' faith. No, it does not work that way. Amen? Yeah. And so also with the issue of faith, you must have faith yourself. You must have faith. You must believe God yourself. Yeah. And parents, I know that we love our children. We want to make things easier for them. Yes, we must. But you know what? Don't do it at the expense whereby they don't learn. They don't develop any muscles, any faith muscle themselves. That every time they will come to their father, oh, Papa, I want this. And then you quickly do it. Help them to learn to develop the muscle themselves. To use faith. I started using faith, believing God for a pencil, for a pen. I trained my muscle that way. Believing God, I didn't have a pen. At that time, you know, we were not given pens at school. Today, you're offered everything. We didn't have pens. We didn't have, you know, I started believing God for that. I would want this textbook, and then I knew that my parents, they don't have it. They don't have the means to do that. I was at the boarding school, and I would pray and believe God, and God would provide. That is why, you know, I can believe God for anything, because my faith has been growing over the years. The muscle of my faith has been growing. You see, if I don't exercise this muscle, it's going to be flabby. You know, a what? A goodbye. Pastor Louis says it's a goodbye. Yeah. And it's going to be flabby. Eh? It's going to... Now, it does not mean there is no muscle. The muscle is there, but it's not exercised. So it's the same thing with faith. And then when you start exercising your muscle, you don't go and get a 200 kilogram weight and, hey, you will break yourself. It does not work that way. If you haven't picked up 500 grams, don't pick up 200 kilogram weight. It does not work that way. Your goal might be 200 kilogram weight, if that is possible. But you start with the 500. You know, you pick up, you go, the dumbbell or the weight, you pick them up. You're there. Yeah. And then go gyming, most of the time, if you go to gym, they've got mirrors. Look at yourself. You're exercising your muscle. Yeah. And then the next time you go there, you realize, hey, that 500 is nothing. Let me double up 1 kilogram now. You go. You go for it. Eh? You go for it. And then the next time, now, over time, you look at yourself and say, wow, it's now stable. At least I saw. How kids are so hairy. Are you with me? Yeah. At least it's stable. You know. Now you go and you increase the weight. You know, you go. And the next time your muscle is strong. It has been strengthened because you have been exercising it. Now that is how faith is. That you start with little things. Believe God. Believe God for little things. Believe God. Even if you know or maybe your parent can buy you that thing, but stop nagging your parent. Grow up. Start using your faith. Now, we don't use our faith this way. You know, you come to your parents. Now, Papa and Mama, I just wanted you to know that I'm trusting God No, it's not faith that way. It's hint. You're giving a hint that I have this need. It's not faith. You know, some people come and say, I'm trusting God for this, you know, and maybe you're having a white shirt. They say, you know what, I'm trusting God for a white shirt. But they can see you're having a white shirt. It does not work that way. It's not faith. It's a hint. You're giving a hint that I like your white shirt. You know, if you can give it to me, you know, it will be great. So, you start, you know, when nobody knows anything, you're trusting God, you're believing God, that God, I'm trusting you for this, I'm believing you, God, for this, I'm trusting that you believe. Now, when it happens, you know this must be God, because nobody knew that you were believing God for that that thing. Amen? Amen. Yeah. And so, that's what happened. You look at people that have transformed, that it has been always a commitment. You go to the gym, or you go and, you know, you run, whatever it is, you know, you exercise. Now, it's a continuous thing. You don't go there one day, and then you exercise, you pick up, you keep up, you know, and then from there you go and look, you know, and this thing does not work. No. It's a continuous thing. You have to continue doing it. Consistence. You know, you must continue doing it. And then as you continue doing it, you are exercising your faith. Are you with me? And so, that is what you need to understand, that, you know what, I would believe God, you know, trust God, and I will walk, you know, in what God says, and, you know, I will do all of that. And so, Abraham did not have a reference, but he believed God. Now, God, I believe you. I trust you. And he had to take a step of faith. And that's what we need to be doing. Now, how do we exercise? Just like every day you go, pick up those weights, pick up those weights. Yeah. Or you go, if you're exercising this, but I know many people have a challenge with this. You know, many people out there, not Nano, you know, but... I know that they have a challenge with this. Now, obviously, you know, here is the key. The first thing is check what you eat. Because there's no point of exercising this, but you're throwing in, you know, even if it's not junk, but a lot of a thing at one time. It affects. Yeah, you eat papa, you eat, you know, all of that. Every day, breakfast, lunch, you know, supper. Of course, your body will show up, you know. It will show that we are what we eat. And so, you work on it. You have a vision. You have a goal. And so you tell yourself that I'm going to avoid ABC. It's a discipline. Discipline in your life. Yeah. And then from there, you say, you know, you start to exercise those muscles. Tell you that exercising these muscles are the most difficult exercises. I don't know about you, but I find them, you know, that they become, they're the most difficult exercises. And see, when I go to gym every day, I know I exercise a certain part of the body. You know, maybe throughout the week, I know that on Monday I'm exercising this, on Tuesday I'm exercising this, on Wednesday I'm exercising this. Normally I finish on Thursday. On Thursday I'm exercising this. So it's a routine. You You know, I know that maybe Monday it's a cardiovascular. I'm exercising my lungs and my heart, you know. So I would be, you know, like on a treadmill, running, you know, doing something that would want me, you know, and so forth. You know, I'm exercising my lungs, I'm stretching my lungs, you know, I'm exercising. Then Tuesday is the upper body, you know, my arms, my chest, the back, you know, and so forth. On Wednesday is the ab, you know, around my waist, my back, and then here. I'm exercising on Thursday on my legs, you know, and so I'm covering every part. And so, but you know, on Wednesday I realized that, hey, zautamo. Those are the most difficult ones. That is as a papale now. But I forced myself to do them. Yeah. This week I realized that I didn't do much. So yesterday, before we came for the meeting, I decided I'm going to do more of this. I worked on it. And so it's something that you have to be consistent. You have to be doing that consistent. Are you with me?
Amen.
Yeah. And what am I talking about? Yeah, faith. So faith is like that. You know, you must be consistent, you know, in your faith. You know, you must be consistent. Otherwise, it does not. You will give up. And so Abraham left, believed God, and said, God, I am going where, firstly, I believe that you are there, God. I believe that I heard you, secondly. You know, and thirdly, I believe that you will do what you said. And so, God, I go out there, and I believe you. And then I go in, and then I do it with no reference. Abraham did it with no reference. He just believed that God is saying this and he must do it. And he went out there. And that is the faith that we must have. Let me conclude by this. There is a compass? Is it compass? Yeah? Compass. Oh, it's a compass. Compass, yeah, something like this, tells you where the north is, you know, where the east is, and so forth. It tells you what degree, you know, and so forth, right? Now, it has a north. It shows a north. Yeah. Now, the compass is controlled by the magnetic field of the earth. And let me just limit my explanation to the earth. Then we have the true north. The true north is, if you look at the earth, it's the line, the Greenwich Meridian line. You know it? The line that divides the earth into west and east. We have the east hemisphere and the north hemisphere. The east and the west, right? Yeah. And then also our time zone are based on that line. Like, Honamo, South Africa, where are we? We are plus 2. Plus 2, yeah. We are plus 2. Now, what does plus 2 mean? Meaning, you see, the earth, it has lines all around. So now we are 2 lines in the east of Meridian, Greenwich Meridian. So what does that mean? meaning hore here in South Africa we are plus two. Ona eno kena kuma, it's quarter past seven. Now, when you go to another place, which is the next line, it will be quarter past. It will be quarter past six. You're going westward. It will be quarter past six. Honayano. And then when you go to another place, it will be quarter past. Six, quarter past five. Yeah. Just like that. So every line is an hour. Every line is an hour. Yeah. And then if this is the earth and then you are here, this side will be exactly 12 hours. So if it's quarter past seven now, it's quarter past seven in the morning. Are you with me? Yeah, but now, go Greenwich Meridian, it's zero. And then Rona, we are plus two, based on the Greenwich Meridian line. Now, the Greenwich Meridian line runs from the South Pole to the North Pole. Now, here on Earth, we call that the True North. Yeah. But the compass, Yona, it does not give you True North. It is just, this side. About 5 past, about 3 minutes past, somewhere there. That's the North is giving you. And then, because of the magnetic field of the North Pole. And then that compass north changes. Doesn't stay the same. It changes. But the line from south to north or north to south, that Greenwich Meridian, does not change. So now, we're saying because it is stable, it is that is the true north. When you hear people talk about the true north, you're saying it's in reference. Now, it might not make sense to you, but up until maybe you're flying an aeroplane, because in an aeroplane, so you have to depend on those cardinals. Or you are in the ocean, they just lewatle. So you have to depend upon that. Now, that is how many people sail, in the olden time. They depended upon that. Now, they would say, that is the true north. Now, this is what I'm saying. Your circumstances may change. That's why you don't rely on your circumstances. You might have gotten saved because somebody in the family was saved. You saw that person serving God and living for God, but that is not your true north. It's good. He's encouraging you, but that is not your true north. Your true north is your Greenwich Meridian. Your true north is God. God is the one who matters above everything. I know that when I am stuck with God, when I am in line with God, when I'm holding on to God, it does not matter. The issue is the one that I am trusting is the one who never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no variation with him. The Bible says there is no even shadow of variation. In other words, today I'm like this. Today I'm like, he is stable, invincible. He is always there. What he says is always happening. Now that is where our faith must be based on. That's your true north. That's your true north. Yeah. And so, all our pastors, pastors in the church, We are a great family. We are great, you know, people. Oh, Pastor Pula, you know, we are great people. You know, I am happy to be associated with them. But, you know what? When they decide to go another direction, I shouldn't say, oh, they are my friends, you know, I will go with them. They are not my true north. And at the same time, I am not their true north. I must always have my needle on the true north. My compass, my needle, my dial, my everything must always be on the true north. Must always be on God. I see the value. I see, you know, what is happening around. I see, but I'm not depending upon them. I love Pastor Louisa so much. Yeah. And we have lived how many years now? You know, many years, 30 this year. You know, we have lived together, you know, and it's like, you know, mononalele nala. You know, we are together. Are you with me? Yeah, but being together, and I love her, and I would encourage her, and she encourages me, but she's not my true north. She's not my true north. Yeah. My true north is God. The one who saved me is God. It's not Pastor Louise. I love her, but she didn't save me. My true north is God. Yeah. And so my dials will always, must always be on God. Always. All the time. God must be the ultimate in my life. And I'm telling you that you will never fail when you have God as your true north. Amen. And you know, Abraham probably had family. He had people with him and all of that. But the faith of Abraham knew that his true north is God. And so that's why when God came, said, I'm living. I'm following God. I'm following God. Obviously, when my God, when God is my true north, God, you know, brought us together in the first place. Akasi jige jige, you know, all of a sudden, are you with me? You know, a God who has brought us together, he will help us as long as we are, both of us are focusing on the true north. It will be well between the two of us. But if I decide to look at other things and I leave out the true north, and she's focusing on the true north and then I am focusing on something, there's going to be a problem. And so, what are we saying now? The faith of Abraham is saying, you know, let us focus on the true north. Live your Christian life having your eyes on the true north, having your eyes on God. God, I will serve you. I love you. God, I will live for you. And you know, when you do that, you'll never be offended. You'll never be offended. You'll never allow any offense in your life. Because you know that what matters is your relationship with God. That's what I want to say to all of us. Let us have God as our true north. You know, it will be great to really, you know, it will be exciting to serve God when we have God as our true north. That's my prayer, that's my desire, that we would have God. It's our true north. Let's stand up on our feet right now. Yes, that is a dial. Yeah. That is the compass. Can we say this? Father God, I thank you that you're helping me to focus on you as my true north. Abraham looked at you as the true north, and he was never shifted and affected by what happened around his life. But he focused on you. Help me, God, to always focus on you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
It's when you're in the house, you know, you're enjoying the grace that is in the house. And when you serve God, you're doing it because you love God. I'm telling you that the blessings will always remain with you.
Let your light shine in the darkest parts. Let your love fill the world.
Wow, what a great message it was. Join me next time, even as we continue to hear what God is saying in our next podcast. Or you can also visit us in our website, www.cfcpolokwane.co.za. God richly bless you.